Welcome to Close Ups. We're meeting today with members of the Climate Action Task Force here in the town of Hingham, and they've been doing some really great work. Joining us today, Maria Zaid, Kathy Reardon, Brad Moyer. Welcome. How's everybody doing today?
Doing good, well. Thank you.
So let's talk about the task force, this climate action planning task force, and the work that you were charged with by the selectmen. Brad, would you like to take that question first?
Sure, happy to, Joe. First off, let me just say thank you very much to you and Christina at Harbor Media for having us here today. Maria, Kathy, and I are very happy to talk about this subject and hope your audience will be happy to hear it from us, because we'll be hearing a lot of it, we hope, in the next coming month or two. So the Climate Action Planning Task Force was an outgrowth of work originally started by Hingham's Energy Action Committee back in 2019, where that body had planned to take a warrant article to town meeting setting forth the creation of a climate action planning task force for the town of Hingham. The selectmen were very much behind and supportive of the effort, but thought that warrant article at the time was premature because they had hoped that we would be able to socialize the concept more broadly throughout the town, but perhaps more importantly, also attach dollar figures behind it. Like I said, they were very supportive and they wanted to make sure that we had scoped it out appropriately and would allocate dollars to bring this to bear. Following that, the Hingham Energy Action Committee withdrew the warrant article, and this Climate Action Planning Task Force was formed to accomplish those goals.
We have the Metropolitan Area Planning Council, MAPC, and how did they participate in supporting your work?
Sure. So the MAPC is a group that's based in Boston that provides multiple layers of support to regional towns that surround the Boston area, and Hingham is a member of that group. And we've worked with MAPC quite a bit in the past. In fact, they were very helpful and instrumental in helping us achieve a Green Communities designation back in 2018. So when we set about for conducting this planning and scoping work, it seemed natural to ask them to assist us, and town administration in Hingham was kind enough to allocate some of their remaining budget to fund MAPC's efforts. So one of their energy specialists, a gentleman by the name of Brooks Winner, helped with the task force, helped us organize public hearing sessions where we got great input from town residents that helped inform the goals of what we would look to achieve through a climate action plan, and then scope out the fine details for the planning effort and associating dollar figures with that, so we could go to town meeting with a very specific ask to meet the selectmen's goals.
And speaking of town meeting, which is coming up in early May, there were originally two articles on the warrant associated with the climate action plan, one of which was Article O, the other of which was Article P. Maria, would you like to take this question with regard to what is now on the town meeting as it relates to the articles?
So when the articles were originally submitted, Article O was the article that would request funding for the climate action planning process. Since the articles were submitted, the Hingham Municipal Lighting Plant has very generously offered $80,000, which covers the cost of the climate action planning process. So at this point, the recommendation is that the town vote no action on Article O. Article P is the article that will form the Climate Action Planning Committee. So that's the committee whose job it will be to evaluate a wide range of strategies related to carbon emissions reductions and to make recommendations to the town. Article P also establishes a goal of net zero by 2040 or by another date deemed feasible by the committee.
And why did you arrive at this target date of 2040? How did that come to be?
So 2040 was, we came to 2040 through a combination of factors. First being that there's wide consensus in the scientific community that we need to get to net zero by 2050 in order to avoid the most catastrophic effects of climate change. the complication with that figure is that it's been moving closer and closer to our present day over the past few years. So we chose 2040 in order to be in more of a proactive rather than a reactive position. And also because in our public input sessions, the response we got from community members was that they wanted us to pursue a more aggressive target.
What's meant by this term net zero?
Sure. Net zero refers to a zero sum of carbon emissions that are put into and taken out of the atmosphere. So we get to a net zero of carbon emissions, both by reducing our own emissions, but also by increasing natural carbon offsets, such as by planting trees.
And Kathy, let's talk about the Climate Action Planning Committee itself and how this committee came to operate.
Well, the planning committee obviously will be set up under Article P, authorized under Article P. And the purpose of the planning committee is to represent as wide as possible a range of interests and responsibilities across municipal, commercial, and residential areas of town, so that the ultimate plan will really be representative. The committee will be chaired, according to the article, the committee will be chaired by a member of the Energy Action Committee, which of course, as Brad told you, was the origin of this process in the first place. And it will be supported by consultant services. The town will do an RFP process, and the Hingham Light Municipal Light Plant has, as we said, very generously agreed to help to support this effort at a cost of $80,000.
And assuming that Article P passes at town meeting, how will our citizens here in Hingham be able to support and participate going forward?
Well, perhaps first I could just tell you, give you the quick list of who will be participating in this on the committee, the representatives on the committee. So the representatives on this committee are, and I am using my crib sheet for this, are the Energy Action Committee, Greener Cleaner Hingham, which is Maria is connected with, Hingham School Committee, which of course has many buildings and is going to have any number of challenges, the Hingham Municipal Light Plant, the Planning Board, the Conservation Commission, the Development and Industrial Commission, and on top of that, there will be four residents of the town who will be hopefully chosen diversity and age and background and whatever to really give as broad an input as we possibly can to this process. As a result, it was determined that with a large committee, that consulting services were going to be even more important. Many of the people on these committees have other jobs, they have other duties, and they're not going to be able to be, you know, on the ground all the time on this. So that was why it was really important that we have a consulting body to work to do a lot of the technical research and to help just with the day-to-day jobs of the committee. Public input is going to be incredibly important, and it's not going to just be the people who are on this committee. The scope that we have devised for this planning committee will include three public information sessions, which are sort of formal things. But beyond that, we expect that members of the committee are going to reach out to all kinds of constituencies in the town directly and get input from them, because again, the impact is so broad. And the final thing is, of course, that any meeting that they have will be open to the public under the public meeting law.
And so, assuming that town meeting again authorizes this climate action plan going forward, as you look at the main tasks associated with the plan, and you mentioned consulting services, and so is that going to be in the form of an RFP for consulting services, and what type of background consulting services are you hoping to contract with here?
Certainly, that will go through the normal town RFP processes. So while HMLP is generously funding it, they are happy to have the town run with that and the contract to be with town administration. Certainly, we would think if they would be interested, MAPC would have the experience and the services that they could provide. So we would hope to see a response from them in the RFP. There are also other design outfits that Hingham has worked with in the past as well in this area. So we expect to see quite a few entities that we would certainly hope would be interested and can continue with working with Hingham as they have in the past.
What do you think Hingham's biggest challenges will be in getting to net zero by 2040? And do you see trends or opportunities emerging that will help us get there?
Well, I definitely see trends and opportunities emerging, and I think Brad can speak more articulately to that than I can. But I view the greatest challenges as being the residential changes that people are going to be making. Changes regarding how we heat and cool our homes, the kinds of cars we drive, choices we make in our everyday lives. Those are changes that the Climate Action Plan can't prescribe as easily as we can as it might be able to on a municipal level.
Brad, you want to add to that?
Certainly the residential component, as Maria highlighted, will be key. On the municipal side, we have a little bit more of a history and general support there. It's easier if you look at the governmental incentives that are out there now, many of them are focused on the municipal timeframe, or I should say the municipal sector. And we've already done a great deal of work with regard to energy audits that we've obtained throughout the town, an understanding of where the gaps are and what we can do to improve efficiency measures in the town. So I feel we have a good handle on how we could move forward there. Although I will say one thing we are, of course, very mindful of on the task force is that we are not here at all to prejudge any outcomes. We were very sensitive not to begin the plan. We're here right now teeing up how that plan can be produced. And as Kathy was noting, instrumental in this is to get as much involvement from the town as possible so that when we do come out with something that has all of these possible steps to take and will require some behavioral changes and have behavioral impacts, that it's not a surprise to anyone and that it's something that everyone is aware of and on board with adopting.
Are there other communities here in Massachusetts, along with Hingham, that are engaged in this work of a climate action plan? And if so, could you give us a couple of examples?
Yes, there are several. There are 21 communities in Massachusetts that either have a climate action plan or are currently developing them. And then there are another 33 that have greenhouse gas emissions reduction targets. When we were doing this work, we looked at several climate action plans, and the ones that stood out to us, I think, were Winchester, Concord, and also Newton.
Tell me why. Why did those three stand out to you?
I remember Newton's plan specifically because they had very clear benchmarks of what needed to be achieved at what point in time. It didn't just simply say reductions by this date. They let out a clear, they established a clear path with measuring points of how they were going to get there.
The one thing we also looked at was communities that had municipal light plants. because they are so much more, you know, comparable to the town of Hingham and have opportunities that other towns don't have when they don't control their light plant.
Exactly, and Concord was a particularly illustrative example of that, since they had a muni light plant that was very much involved in their effort, just as HMLP is here.
Kathy, do you have any thoughts at this point on the specific municipal operations that a climate action plan provisions might impact? And could you give us examples of how a municipal function might change as a result of this climate action plan?
Well, I think the most important aspect of this plan across all municipal functions is that greener energy concerns are integrated into every single municipal decision. Because if we don't do that, we're just gonna be piecemeal here and there. So, and this was something that I noticed being specified in other town plans, that was extremely important. So that really sort of overtops the all of it. Beyond that, I would say, the most likely municipal impacts are on town infrastructure, building construction, maintenance, and operation, and also on municipal buildings and, municipal vehicles and their use as well. So I think those are the big areas where there's going to be impact and there's going to be work for municipal departments to adjust and to make changes.
So we talked about the municipal functions. What might be some of the day-to-day activities that would impact our Hingham residents as a result of this climate action plan? Can you think of a few examples there?
Yeah, Joe, I'm happy to jump in on that one. I think the point that I would want to stress most here is that often when we hear of activities, you know, that require behavioral changes, they're automatically assumed to be negative. Like, oh, climate action plan is going to come out. It's going to be costly. It's going to cause me to do things that I don't want to do. And I would highly encourage individuals to not fall into that trap, because there are a lot of benefits that could come from this. So one of the things that we have looked for in our process, and that we would hope to stress to the planning body that would overtake this effort, is to focus on behavioral incentives. And there are a lot of incentives right there out there right now that can do a lot of good. So, you know, let's talk about some of the easiest, most visible ones. It's like solar arrays. So you can see, okay, solar arrays, I can actually get, you know, very cheap electricity. And if it's a nice sunny day and I have a good sizable roof, I'm actually going to create more energy than I'm consuming, and I can sell that back to the town. I can actually earn money on my solar arrays. HMLP has adopted very generous solar subsidies to help encourage the adoption in the town. So you might think, I'm going to have to incur this cost and I'm going to have these big solar panels on my roof, but it can be done in a way that not only makes it easy to do and cost effective, but could actually provide greater benefit than what you had before they existed. There are going to be other behavioral changes that, you know, may cause some issues at first, but then become second nature. I think of recycling. You know, when recycling was first perhaps adopted, people are like, am I going to have to separate garbage or so forth? We've had that now in town for years and years and years. It's second nature. I do it without even thinking about it. It's just part of my day-to-day routine and doesn't bother me or challenge me at all anymore. So we're going to have some of those types of behavioral changes that we would introduce, or a planning process could introduce, you know, when we think about like updates to our home or new construction or things like that. We should think of a matter, of course, of better insulation, LED lighting, which, you know, I'd be shocked if everyone doesn't have LED lighting in their home right now, you know? So these are the kinds of things that we would hope a planning process would focus on, so it's not seen as just a burden, one more thing to do, but really it's the benefits that are emphasized and the ease of adoption that is focused on.
And I would say too that regardless of what we do, change is coming. So we hope that this plan will put us in the best position facing those changes and give us the best opportunities.
So just to review, we have an article, Article P, that will come before the voters at town meeting. And once approved, if approved, the committee will then be constituted. And this committee will represent a cross-section of our municipal departments, as well as citizens that have been appointed. But in addition to that, you're also planning to hold a number of public meetings wherein our residents can become not only informed, but perhaps given an opportunity to give some feedback and become engaged in this work by the committee. So, final thoughts.
I guess I can start, and then I'd ask Kathy and Maria to jump in. But I think what's extremely important for the Hinghamtown residents to take away from this conversation and this planning effort is that this is the start of a process that is looking to engage them, not force anything upon them. So the planning effort that is before a town meeting is essentially a plan to build a plan. And any outcome of that effort will work its way through the normal channels for citizen engagement, citizen view, and citizen approval. So if there is something the plan asks that would require a town meeting vote, it will go back to town meeting. If it's something that's going to, you know, need planning board review, the planning board will review it. And every step of the way, it'll be open, public, and transparent, and inviting for all citizens to have a say and have their views be heard, because this can only work if we're all working together for it.
Final thoughts, Maria?
Well, I would say that this is a plan that just makes good sense, having this plan. It's going to include cost-benefit analyses of various strategies that we will be able to choose from. And as I said earlier, you know, the change is coming. It's up to us to be prepared and be in the best position. We want to be proactive rather than reactive. I also think that a lot of the aspects that draw people to Hingham, you know, the gorgeous natural features, the peaceful nature, will be amplified by this plan.
Final thoughts, Kathy?
I guess I'm thinking about this planning process. I think we will consider it a success if we have done what I've sort of touched on before, which is to integrate this concern, our concern for the climate, our goal to live in a town that has cleaner air, less noise, more greenery, if we can integrate those values into everything that we do, then we have a good chance of success. And that's what I think the purpose of this plan should be, is to put it everywhere so that it's just part of our lives and it's part of our thinking.
Well, I want to thank you all for taking this time with us to talk about this important work that you've already put a lot of effort into. Good luck at the upcoming town meeting. I have a feeling that this is going to get the support that it so richly deserves. Thank you very much, Maria Zaid. Thank you, Kathy Reardon. And thank you, Brad Moyer.
Thank you,
Joe. Really appreciate the opportunity to speak with you today. Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you.